It's a promise. God is a God of healing. You may be struggling with a physical ailment. God is a God of healing. All of life may be crashing apart. God is a God of healing. You may be at a place where you feel like you're at rock's bottom. God is a God of healing. I want you to know this morning that He loves you. He loves you. With this unfathomable, incredible love, He loves you. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us what love is. And not just with words, but in demonstration. I know that there's some people here today that just need your divine intervention in their life. Painful pasts, challenging issues, physical trauma. Father, healing is needed. And so we trust you today as the God of healing to bring healing into our lives. Father, we love you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The past couple of weeks, we've been talking a little bit about prayer. And we've learned some principles about prayer. 2 weeks ago, as we talked about the disciples' prayer, we learned that prayer does affect circumstance. And at the same time, we recognize that prayer changes me. Last week, we talked about the power of agreement, where two or more come together and agree together as they pray. We learned about God's principled will and understanding His principled will in light of our situation and in essence, aligning our will, my will, with God's principled will. For God answers according to His will. Today, I want to talk with you about healing prayer. Does God heal today? Absolutely. God either heals temporarily or permanently, physically today. God heals relationships. God heals broken dreams. God heals hurts and injury. God heals emotionally. God heals spiritually. God heals mentally. God heals physically. Perhaps the passage that is best known for healing prayer is the one that James gives us. In James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And if you have a printed Bible, turn to that if you would. It'll be on the screen for you. If you have an electronic Bible, just tap your way to James chapter 5. Beginning in verse 13, we read, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? cheerful, joyful. Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, for the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is both powerful and effective. James asks an inquiry. He gives us a couple of questions. And the questions he asks of all of us together, individually. The first question he asks is any one of you in trouble? Are you in trouble? The word trouble equates to suffering. It equates to hardship. Are you suffering? Are you going through hardship? Are you going through difficulty? If you are, pray. See, the idea of going through difficulty and hardship, James says, you need to pray. You need to pray. And here's something good here. If he asks the question, if there's trouble or hardship or suffering that we're going through and that we are to pray, James literally is saying, it's okay to pray for you. Do you know, it's okay for you to pray for yourself? I try to tell people that all the time. I'll never forget a lady a number of years ago back had this breakthrough about prayer. She felt guilty if she prayed for herself. No, the question is anyone in trouble? Are you in trouble? Are you suffering? Are you going through hardship? Then pray. Pray for yourself. It's biblical. So now you all have permission to be selfish in your prayer life. It's okay. It's good. I encourage that. James encourages that. But what's interesting about this word trouble, suffering and hardship, it has the connotation of suffering and hardship in doing what's right. For example, the verb for trouble is used four times in the New Testament. Twice it's used by Paul as he speaks to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, he talks about enduring suffering for the ministry. He is encouraging, walk through it, live through it, persevere through the suffering. Have you ever wondered about God's will? I mean, sometimes people, I hear them say from time to time, you know what, everything just fell right into place. It must have been what? God's will. Oh, all the pieces just fit together perfectly. It must be God's will. You know, I think that's true many a times. But you know what's funny about God's will? Sometimes living out and living through God's will means that you will live through suffering, that means you'll live through trouble, that means you'll live through hardship and difficulty. And you know, that's okay. We don't like that. But sometimes that's a part of living out God's will, is that we live through times of trials and hardships and difficulties. Now, a lot of people don't like to preach that because we think if we talk about the fact, come to Jesus and have a hard life, people are going to run away. But the fact is, though you may have the hard times and hard seasons of life, you've got His presence and His strength through them. That's sweet. So, see, sometimes following Christ means that we go through hardship and suffering and difficulty, and it's okay because He's there with us. So the question is, are you in trouble? Are you in suffering? Are you going through hardship? Are you going through difficulty? Pray. Talk to God about it. But there's the second question that's asked, the second inquiry. Is any one of you happy? Are you joyful? Are you cheerful? Now let me look out there. Let me see those smiles. I'm not sure sometimes, you know. How many of you are joyful, cheerful, and happy this morning? You know what I thought I would do is, and we don't have any, they're all wired this morning. It says, James says, that if you're joyful, cheerful, and happy, you should sing a song from the heart. I was going to take a microphone and just come up to you and ask you to start singing for us. The idea is to sing. Do you know you can gauge the joy in a church by the way people in the church sing? When the volume and the tempo increase, it's just a picture of the evidence of the joy that exists within the family. See, James says, are you happy? Are you joyful? Are you cheerful? Sing about it. Sing with joy. Sing from the heart. Just as Paul says in Ephesians, sing and make music from the heart to the Lord. But there's a third question. The third question is this. Is anyone sick? Are you sick? What's interesting about the word sick that's used here in the Greek is that it has the true meaning of weak or weakness. Later on, we talk about sickness in James, and the meaning of that word is weary. So what he's getting at here is this weakness and this weariness. Now, weakness can be used to refer to physical sickness. And does. It's the same word that is used in the Gospels. But also, many times, it is used in reference to mental, spiritual, or emotional anguish that people go through. Weariness. Tired. So the question becomes, does this passage only refer to physical weakness or to spiritual and emotional weakness as well? This passage, as James is asking this question, not only relates to physical sickness, but also to spiritual, emotional, and mental weakness or sickness. So the question is, are you weak? Are you sick? Maybe it's a weak faith. Maybe it's a weak conscience. Maybe it's weak morally or spiritually or physically. Maybe it's weakness in the midst of suffering. Maybe it's simply this exhaustion physically and spiritually. I was watching the other day on one of the channels of this picture of nomads in the desert. And they were talking about the simplicity of life for the nomad. I mean, he's got some goats, some tents, some kids. What can go wrong, right? But the aspect of his life was simplicity. I think about the complexity of our lives today. Many in this room work more than 50 hours a week, maybe 60 at your work. Many are married and have families and kids to provide for and things to do. Did you realize you have to mow your yard sometimes and clean your house? And then there's all these sports teams. Every child has to be in Little League. Every child has to play a sport. Every girl has to dance. All, you know, and we pay to drive ourselves crazy. Have you ever realized that, parents? Every league in town we pay. We go broke to go crazy. And you ever started on Monday? I know you've done this because I've done this too. And man, I've begged God for another day. Because I'm depleted, I'm exhausted. What often happens in depletion and exhaustion, when it goes for a long period of time in life, we move into an arena called burnout. All of a sudden, we become spiritually numb, physically numb, emotionally numb, and mentally numb. we become weak. Yes, it's true that, this passage speaks about physical weakness and sickness. But I'm not so sure the challenge today is not bigger in the area of emotional, mental, and spiritual weakness. So here's the question. Are you sick? Are you weak? Then do something about it. And this is what he says. He tells us in this passage, he says, listen, if any of you are sick, let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. That sounds kind of out of place. But listen. In this prayer of faith, in this prayer that we are asked to engage in, this is how we're to do it. If you number yourself among the sick, if you number yourself among the weak, James says that you need to request help. He says that, if you are sick, then call on the elders. Call on the elders. The idea is that what's happened is the responsibility is placed on the one that is sick, the one that is weak, the one that is weary. He says, listen, you need to do something about it. Call somebody. Call somebody that is wise. Call somebody that is well. Call somebody that can add value into your life. The idea is the responsibility now becomes mine. If I'm the one that is sick, the responsibility is on me to make the call. The responsibility is on me to ask for help. The responsibility for me is to cry out. Now, who do I cry out to? The elders. Now, who are the elders? You know, we don't have elders here, so I guess you can't call here. No, I'm just kidding. But who are the elders? It could be deacons. Could be a Sunday school teacher. Could be a staff member. Could be a wise friend. Could be a fellow believer. The idea is that you call someone for help. I am weak, I am sick, I need help, I'm calling you. And so you call. And what's interesting is the responsiveness of this elder, of this one that is spiritually well. This one that's spiritually well comes and is to do two things, pray and anoint with oil. Now, the prayer part, we're pretty easy about, right? Because we're like, somebody calls me to pray for him, I'm going to pray for him, right? That's pretty easy to do. But what about this oil? Is that canola, extra virgin olive oil? What is that? What do I use? Is that to be blessed? You know, I hear this. If you request prayer and anointing with oil, we will do that. For physical sickness, for mental weariness, for spiritual weariness, for emotional weariness, we will pray and anoint. But the significance of this passage moves far beyond just a few words. Because the idea of a spiritual elder is one that is well, that perhaps as you read a little further in this passage, is one that has already been through what you're going through, has lived through the challenges that you're living through right now, or somebody that can simply give reprieve into your life. So you ask that person to pray. And the idea of anointing with oil, the word for oil, the anointing aspect, the word for anointing that's used here, and the oil, is not some sort of sacramental or religious rite oil. It's not some sort of sacramental value. The idea is that it is an oil used for refreshment, for grooming, for soothing. So follow me on this. The idea is if I am sick and I'm weary, I call for help. I call for someone who I think is well, or somebody perhaps has been through something I'm going through, or somebody that should be a spiritual elder. And so I call out to them and I ask them to agree with me in prayer. I ask them to agree with me in my situation, what I'm going through. I ask them to pray for me. And the elder is to be sensitive. And that's the other part of this prayer, the sensitivity piece. Because the whole oil represents a whole nother factor. I mean, we can run in and pray over you, anoint you with oil, and run back out. But the idea is, if we're talking about oil for grooming and for soothing and for blessing, if we're talking about oil, that's more than just a once in and out. That's an idea of walking with somebody. That's an idea of investing in their life. That's an idea of keeping track of them, keeping account of them. The idea of adding comfort, adding care, adding respite into their life. So the idea of this prayer is that if I'm the one that's sick, I'm going to call out and ask. But the person I'm asking is going to be sensitive. I know, we don't like that word, but it's a good word, sensitive. And in that sensitivity, they're going to be the comfort. They're going to be the agreement in prayer. They're going to be the concern in our life. Because the idea is that this person comes in and literally brings refreshments. Yeah, they Baptists, we eat, but refreshment. They bring in interest, involvement, and interaction. It's that they refresh. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he says that we are to help the weak and to encourage the faint-hearted. So see, in this prayer, we always get stuck on the oil. But the oil means so much more than just the physical anointing. But it means the sensitivity that an elder brings to the situation. But I also want you to see the promise. Because the promise is a huge piece here. Because what he says in verse 15 is, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. The idea is this prayer that is offered in faith and trust will make the weary person well or whole, for it is the Lord that will raise them up. Now, what's interesting, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. The whole idea brings in the emotional, brings in the spiritual aspect of this more than the physical, that at the point of literally agreeing in prayer and the point of being prayed over, this elder needs to know what to pray for and how to pray for and what the condition, what the situation is, and that if there's sin, that sin has been confessed, and that health and forgiveness takes place. But see, God is the one that raises up. Do you realize how powerful encouragement is? And I think of this so oftentimes, that when somebody takes interest, when somebody takes time to pray, when somebody takes time to encourage you and talk to you about the situation, the challenge, the weakness, or what you're going through, how powerful that is and how encouraging that is. But I want you to see what really becomes this call to prayer, or the confession challenge, I call it. Because you read in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you'll be healed. I want you to look around for a minute. Just look at a person, make sure they're awake as you look around, tap them on the shoulder if they're not. Can you imagine going and confessing to your sins to the person you're sitting next to? Funny thing is, they probably already know them. But can you imagine that? Let me give you a word for sin. For sin truly means weakness. Therefore, confess your weaknesses to each other. Confess your weakness to each other and pray for each other. As you confess the weakness to a friend, somebody that is an elder, somebody that is a believer, as you confess that sin, that weakness, that person is able to pray for you and you for them as you agree upon prayer. Confessing our weaknesses. Because the promise that God gives is that you will be what? Healed. That you may be made well. That you'll be made whole. Do you know the power of simply being able to share what it is you're going through with somebody? You ever thought about that? You ever held in a secret and then let it out? How good it was? This whole aspect of confessing your weaknesses to one another so that they may pray for you. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I love this part of the verse, because the idea of a righteous person isn't some goody-two-shoes Baptist person that has kind of a holiness halo look about them when they walk in the room. That's not the righteous person. The idea of the righteous person is somebody that has been through what you've been through and they've come out on the other side. It's like they know what you're going through. They know what you've been through. How cool is that they know what you've been through? They know how to pray for you. I've shared several times about, as a pastor, man, I've been a pastor for a long time. And I have married and buried hundreds and hundreds of people. And I can have when a loved one dies, I can have all the sympathy and compassion and care in the world for somebody as they grieve. But you know what? After March 20th, my ability to relate to somebody that lost a parent changed overnight. Because all of a sudden I know how. I mean, if you've lost a parent, I know what you're going through. I know how to pray for you. Because I know it stinks, and so I know how to pray for you, because I know what you're going through. See, that's the kind of thing, as we talk about a righteous person, somebody that's been through that and come out the other side, because they know how to pray for you, because it's powerful and effective the way they pray. See, what James encourages us to do is if you're suffering, if you're going through a hard time, man, pray. If you're joyful and cheerful and happy, man, sing a song. I won't put the solo mic in your mouth now, but if you're sick, if you're weary, call somebody. Call out and allow there to be agreement in prayer, and allow them to be refreshment in life. Even if it is the anointing of oil, it's the refreshment of presence in somebody's life. And oh, by the way, while you're doing life, share your weaknesses with somebody else and let them share theirs with you, so that you can pray with them and they for you, that you may be whole. Because the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Man, if I'm going through stuff, I want somebody that's been through that same stuff praying for me. Because they know what I'm going through. Listen, I want to do something this morning. I think it's important. If you said yes to the first question, are you in trouble? Are you suffering? Are you going through hardship? Maybe you're smack dab right in the middle where God wants you to do, and man, there's just garbage happening all around you. It's painful. I want you to pray with me right now. God says if you're going through suffering, pray. And pray something like this. Pray with me. Father, Lord, I don't like what's going on. I don't like this season. I don't like this issue that I'm going through. But God, you're the only one. You're the only one that could do something about it. And so I surrender myself to you. I come before you in all humility and brokenness, asking you to intervene. And Lord, if intervention means that you remove it from my life, man, I'm going to celebrate that. But if intervention means that you walk with me through this dark time, that I know your presence and your strength day by day, your grace moment by moment, God, I'm good with that too. But Lord, I need your help. And just as your word says, if I'm in trouble, I need to call out to you. And so, Lord, I'm calling out. Father, work. Intervene. Change. Change my circumstance. Change me. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said yes to the second question, you're joyful, cheerful, I want you to go home and sing in the car on the way home. And that's a rule. We don't sing in the car in my family. So we're going to sing in the car, at least out of the neighborhood, right? Sing for joy. But if you said yes to number three, are you sick, weary, weak? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, or mentally? I'm going to ask you to do something. We've done this once before. But I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. Because what I want us to do is I want us to put people around you this morning. People that are seated around you or another place in the room will walk up alongside of you. Simply place their hand on your back or simply give you a hug. If you're not a hugger, just say no hugs, please, when they come up to you. Maybe they'll put their arm around you. But I want us today to pray for healing. Because if you're suffering physically, I want us to pray. If you're suffering weak and sick spiritually, mentally, emotionally, we need to pray. Because God's word promises He will raise you up. He will lift you up. And so right where you're at, would you just stand? You say, I want you to pray for me this morning that I am weak physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Would you just please stand right where you are? Just stand right where you are. Don't be shy. Stand right where you are. I'm going to ask people that are seated around you if they would just come around you. Just place their hand on your back. Would you just come around, folks, right where you are? We have some back here. We have several back in the back here. Folks, if you just move and just get with them, just hold hands with them, place your arm around them, place your hand on their back. We don't want anybody standing alone today. Everybody standing with someone. Come on, be sure. We have some up front here as well. Some right up here, please. If not, okay. Right here. Be sure and stand. Nobody standing alone this morning. Pray together. Jesus, we recognize today that you are our healer. Father, I recognize that you bring healing into my life. And so, Lord, I am trusting you and you alone for healing today. Where there is physical ailment, physical sickness, God, I pray that you would rejuvenate the body, that you would restore health to the body, that you'd give strength to the bones, strength to the organs, strength to the chemistry in the body. For Father, you know every hair on every head. You know every molecule in that body. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bring healing physically to the body. And we will be quick to give you praise and honor and glory for it because we recognize and realize that it's not because of doctors, it's not because of the nurses, though they are helpmates and though they are encouragers, though they bring the oil to the table, that Lord, it is healing because of you. And so we're trusting for divine healing today in the lives of those that are standing. also for those that are suffering spiritual weakness and spiritual sickness, Lord. You know the condition, you know the hearts, you know the trauma, the difficulty that they've walked through, the doubt that exists. And Father, I pray that you would remove the doubt from their life, and from doubt you would place confidence in their life, that Lord, once again, they would trust fresh and anew and trust you completely for what you have for them in their life today. Lord, for those that are sick, that are tired, that are weak emotionally, Lord, mentally, that Father, you know the brain, you know the capacity, you know the chemistry of the body. And Father, I pray that you would flow in a fresh wind of joy, a fresh wind of hope, a fresh wind of grace. Lord, they would recognize today that you are our hope. You are their only hope today. And so, Father, we cry out. We cry out for you to bring healing. We cry out for you to bring health. We cry out for you to bring wholeness today. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for changing circumstance, for changing the heart of the prayer today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.